Hello and welcome to the WTF1 podcast. I am your host, James Coker, along with Ash Vandelay. Hi, Ash.
Hello.
Today, we are going to be previewing the Belgian Grand Prix at Spa-Francorchamps, one of the iconic tracks on the Formula One calendar. But before we do that, let's get into some headlines in the world of motorsport, shall we?
We shall. We don't have anything too crazy, knock on wood, till something comes out tomorrow while we're not recording this. Recording this on Wednesday, July 23rd. So just saying. First headline is Max Verstappen wins the ESPY, which stands for Excellence in Sports Performance Yearly, from ESPN, for Best Driver against Oscar Piastri, NASCAR's Joey Logano, and IndyCar's Alex Palou. It is a fan-voted award, much to some people who didn't know on social media. They're wondering how, like, why him, X number of times in a row, etc. Other people were wondering who, like, why IndyCar selected Alex Palou. I mean, we know why, but he's also the previous champion. And NASCAR, same thing. Joey Logano is a previous champion as well. And then Max Verstappen and Oscar Piastri from F1. Neither F1 or ESPN posted about it. Usually ESPN has posted every other single award or interaction from that evening. Right. Did not do anything about that award, nor did it was just Joey Logano was there presenting, which was kind of cool for NASCAR, and they retweeted something from him, but ESPN and Formula One, nothing.
Yeah. Also, how like little do you think Max Verstappen cared about winning this award?
Yeah. I mean, I see your point, but I just think other athletes who were there just see it as like a fun, yeah, like their evening to celebrate sport. Sure. Etc. So,
yeah, but motorsport has the Autosport Awards and the FIA Awards. So there's a number of awards.
There's a lot. And then they have to travel to the United States for that and then go all the way back to where they need to be, etc. So, right. At first I thought it was because of the whole broadcasting rights thing, but I was informed by others on Threads that they've had this category before ESPN even had the broadcasting rights. Mm-hmm. And it's always been just kind of like, we're going to mention this, but that's about it.
Right. I read somewhere, I forget who said this, but people are speculating, like, you know, if Apple does end up securing the broadcast or streaming rights for Formula One, that viewership will, in the United States at least, will drop dramatically. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that's accurate?
It depends. I feel like that's my answer for a lot of these kind of hypotheticals, right? If there's no F1 TV allowed, then yes.
Yeah.
If Apple has exclusive rights. If there's Apple TV allowed, we will see a drop. I don't think it'll be, I guess it depends how you define dramatic. I don't think it'll be too big, but there'll still be a drop for sure. I think there's definitely a casual viewer who just puts it on.
I do feel like a lot of people still watch ESPN.
Yes.
And if ESPN chooses to stop covering Formula One as a sport, let's say like in SportsCenter, it will, to a casual fan, feel less relevant.
And we understand this is United States specific. I just want to make that very clear. We
100%
understand completely that this is a United States thing. And to much people's dismay, I know I've seen a lot of comments of like ESPN sucks when I bring them up, but they are still the worldwide leader of sports.
In sports.
Whether you like it or not, they've changed their stuff. They've obviously doubled down on the NFL. They still have tons of viewership. So
da-da-da.
Things are da-da-da. Changing. For sure, but mm-hmm. they still have a chokehold on sports and sports reporting and their writers, etc. So, yeah, it's definitely a change in. But we'll see how Apple does. They seem like they care. They want to capitalize on the movie and all that good stuff. So,
yep.
Well, fingers crossed. Take care of it, Tim Cook.
Next up.
NASCAR is not racing in Chicago in 2026. That was announced this week. They want to just go through everything they've learned the past couple of years. The goal is to return in 2027. However, it was announced today on Wednesday, July 23rd, that NASCAR is going to San Diego. All of the NASCAR National Series will race June 19th through the 21st at the Naval Base Coronado in 2026 to celebrate the 250th anniversary of the U.S. Navy. The exact course is to be announced. It's going to be roughly 3 miles. They might use the tarmac. They might use the aprons of the runways. The goal, according to some NASCAR insiders, is to race by aircraft carriers and potentially use the runways themselves. They want to make this a whole kit and caboodle. We know my thoughts about this. NASCAR expects tens and thousands of fans, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then it says you have a joke.
Yeah, that I want my tickets through the Signal group chat by Pete Hegseth, but.
There's a real opportunity here to do a cover of the Village People's In the Navy song where they're like, we want you, we want you, we want you in our pit crew.
That sounds fun. The whole, as those non-United States can imagine, the whole commercial or advertisement or video posted about this is very Top Gun, military, guns blazing, 1776, yeah. Two-time World War II champion, some kind of that kind of shtick. So, we'll see. Yeah. We were very surprised. We thought it'd be replacing Chicago on July 4th weekend. So the fact that it's June 19th to the 21st, we're all kind of questioning now what's coming July 4th. Previously, July 4th is usually reserved for the Firecracker 400, which is in Daytona. So folks are crossing their fingers that that is the announcement that's coming next, that Daytona is also coming back to July 4th. But we'll see.
Yeah. I just want to do a quick fact check. Is it I know they said there's definitely not going to be a Chicago street race. But I thought there were some talks that they might race at the Chicagoland Speedway in 2026 with hopes of returning as a street course in 2027.
I cannot confirm. That's not been, like, reported. They're definitely looking into it. There have been talks about Chicagoland. Okay. There's also a reason they left Chicagoland. So.
Because it's an hour away from the city and it's
attendance
hard to
get people was rough,
out there. Yeah. Yeah.
This is a cyclical conversation. We have a lot in IndyCar and NASCAR. I mean, we have this sometimes in sports car racing, right? It's just fans want this track. It left the schedule or the calendar because fans did not attend. Go back to it. Do fans attend? We leave, come back, don't attend. It's just like
There's also a thing with Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Everyone wanted NASCAR to come back to Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and then they were complaining about the road course, and then it goes back to the oval, and they're like, well, you can't pass on the oval in these stock cars. And I'm like, well, what do you want, people? Do you want it here or not?
I would say much smarter minds are trying to figure this out, but I don't know what's going on in these series brains. Folks may laugh at that, seeing some conversations that are occurring. Between whatever NASCAR is doing and whatnot, and IndyCar, it's just, yeah, it's hard, right? Like, I understand they can do better, but at the same time, you can't please everyone. And a lot of the vocal folks who dislike a lot of decisions are the ones who are, hence by the definition of the word vocal, talking about it, getting a lot of views and clicks on social media, writing about it. I'm like, oh, why are we doing street courses? It's just a whole thing. Richard Petty, folks you may not know, an icon in NASCAR, still is, I believe he's on some advisory committee. They're talking about it on SiriusXM. He also said something about SVG winning a bunch of road courses, and he was just not happy about it. And SVG's like, okay, did not care. So it's just, like, unfortunate that someone like Richard Petty, who comes with a lot of pedigree.
who some people consider to be one of the greatest NASCAR drivers of all time.
Yeah, of course.
If not the greatest. Yeah.
So there's a lot going on. I don't know if I'd say, is NASCAR reaching a turning point between the old generation and the new generation? So a lot of people argue that happened a long time ago with the huge drop in viewership by, like, 9 million from, like, this previous weekend from, like, 2005 or such. So this is a whole right. conversation we can, like, outline one day about what's going on here. But
NASCAR is still the dominant motorsport series in the United States.
Which is crazy.
By far.
Yeah. So I thinking about that is insane to me, right? I believe someone compared weekends. Previously was, like, 11 million would be our viewership. In 2005, I think, was the year. Now in 2025, the viewership was 2 million. And people are complaining about that. But Formula One, supposedly so popular, had Drive to Survive in the United States, has all this backing, has all this money, three races here, is, like, a million.
Yeah.
So that kind of puts things in the United States realm. But obviously, yeah. Formula One, huge globally, internationally, etc.
Before we move on, we do need to acknowledge that the Grand Marshal at the Brickyard 400 yes. is none other than Cookie Monster.
That I love.
Which I love.
I don't understand, of course, vocal minority kind of complaining about it, but I think that's fun. First of all, kids should be interested in sports. I don't understand what the big deal is. why would you not want your kid interested in NASCAR if Cookie Monster is the Grand Marshal? I didn't realize being the Grand Marshal was such a big deal to people. I bet they couldn't name any other Grand Marshal ever this year. But somehow Cookie Monster being a Grand Marshal has pissed people off in NASCAR.
That's where they draw
the line. That's where they draw the line. I can excuse this, but not the Cookie Monster.
Before we get into the Belgian Grand Prix preview, we also need to acknowledge that Pato Award won at the Ontario Honda Dealers Indy Toronto 2025, also known as the IndyCar Toronto Grand Prix. It's the street circuit in Toronto. Sort of, you know, disrupting the Honda season of dominance. So a Chevrolet won again. Nature's healing. Very exciting.
Alex Palou is still 99 points ahead of second place. Yes. So he could skip a race comfortably. Not two. He might not have to skip. He can not try hard, but he'll still need to get a couple more points just to stay ahead. And then he'll have to do well the next two races. But Alex Palou is still in a pretty comfortable lead. Anything could happen. We have four races left in IndyCar.
Also, shout out to one of our haters, Wayne, who commented on Spotify that he hated that Americans were talking about Formula One, but then criticized us for talking about IndyCar.
What's up, Wayne? I hope you're doing dude.
So, like, what do you want? Do you want us to not talk about – do you want us to talk about Formula One, or do you want us to talk about IndyCar? Like, we can't talk about Formula One because we're American, but we also should not talk about American racing series either. So – we should just log on here for an hour and just not talk at all and just like play, I guess, Sounds of V10s for an hour.
Stop, that James. People would definitely prefer that. What are you talking about? The Sounds of V10s as opposed to our two voices for an hour on loop? People would love that. Get out of here. Don't give people ideas.
That should be an option. That should be an option in the Calm app. Like if you're looking for some like meditative sounds, yeah. Just Sounds of V10s for
again, I would like to apologize to Wayne that my mother did not cross a border before birthing me in Coney Island Hospital. I could not stop her.
Yeah.
Alas, no one could stop an Eastern European woman about to give birth. So Godspeed, Wayne. Godspeed.
Sorry.
I'm still scared for her. Sorry, I'm Wayne. 33 in less than a month and I am terrified of my mother. So yeah. I'll let her know.
Right on. Shall we get into the Belgian Grand
Prix? Yeah, James, give me your fun facts.
All right. Since 1950, 57 Belgian Grands Prix have been held at the Spa-Francorchamps circuit. The 2025 Belgian Grand Prix is the last race of Spa-Francorchamps' current F1 contract, but it has signed a multi-year extension with Formula One until 2031, but it will alternate. So Belgian Grand Prix will be on the Formula One calendar for 2026, 2027, 2029, and 2031. It will not be on the calendar for 2028 and 2030. Michael Schumacher has the most wins at Spa, with six in total. There are three previous winners of the Belgian Grand Prix on the current grid. Lewis Hamilton has won at Spa five times. Max Verstappen has won the Belgian Grand Prix three times, while Charles Leclerc took his maiden Formula One win at the 2019 Belgian Grand Prix. The Belgian Grand Prix at Spa has been won by less than 10 seconds on 25 occasions, by less than 5 seconds on 21 occasions, and by less than a second on 5 occasions, most recently in 2024. 14 of the last 25 Belgian Grand Prix have been won by less than 5 seconds. Would you look at that? In 2021, Lewis Hamilton set an outright record for most podiums at the track, recording his 10th top three finish. His 2024 win marked the 11th Belgian Grand Prix podium result. His 11th Belgian Grand Prix podium result. There have been seven races at the track in which all top three drivers on the grid have gone on to finish the Grand Prix on the podium. This race is 44 laps with 19 turns, a track length of 7.004 kilometers or 4.35 miles. For those of you who don't like the metric system, and although the new circuit is only half the original length, it is still the longest track on the current calendar. And we all remember the race last year. We saw the George Russell embrace his inner tire whisperer and ended up going very, very long and made it a one-stopper when most people were pulling a two-stopper. Then, of course, he was disqualified because his car was, I believe, 1.5 kilograms underweight. And a lot of people attributed to the fact that the Spa track is so long that cars do not do a cool down lap the way they do on other tracks. What often happens is these cars will pick up marbles on the track to regain weight. Because they didn't get to do that, the car was underweight. But this is, of course, all speculation. But because George Russell was disqualified, Lewis Hamilton inherited the win. And that's all she wrote, folks. But I love Spa. I would love the. It's definitely one of the tracks that I want to be able to attend IRL on the Formula One calendar.
So for the 24 Hours of Spa, I've luckily been to, and it is mm-hmm. absolutely one of the coolest. It's my favorite track, which I'll definitely talk about later. They do this really cool thing. It's a parade where they go through the original track, which is like partially public roads. So it kind of reminds mm-hmm. me of essentially Le Mans, right? Yeah. I absolutely love Spa. It's the best track in the world. Someone can fight me in the comments about this. I absolutely love Spa. It makes me so sad they're going alternating. And I'll explain my reasons why in our storylines here, but I'm excited for this weekend.
Cool.
Right. Best track in the world. Don't tell any United
Best
States tracks.
Best track in the world.
But jumping into storylines, the biggest one, Pirelli skipping a compound this weekend. I'd say biggest one, but more a lot of confusion for some fans about what's going on. So we're going the C1, the C3, and the C4. Last year we did C2, C3, C4. So C1's going to be your hardest compound. Then we're going to C3 for the medium and C4 for the softs. We've done this before 3 years ago in 2022 Australia where Charles Leclerc won. And before that was 2018 in Russia where Lewis Hamilton won. So is this a Ferrari comeback? I'm just kidding. Just like to show the examples of sometimes you can just abuse stats to fit a storyline. But fingers crossed, maybe that's a good sign. Let's talk about what's happening with these tires. Pirelli was given what they call a target letter from the FIA and FOM. It identifies targets that the FIA or the teams want from their tires, such as we request a wider working range, we want less overheating, degradation for a certain number of laps, etc. For this year's compounds, the stipulations were that the tires should be less sensitive to thermal degradation, so the drivers can push them harder for longer. Pirelli did their job, as we've all seen. However, now we have a lot of one-stop races or really processional races, and there's not a lot of overtaking because dirty air is also a factor, as we talked about previously on this pod. So Pirelli did their job, and this is the unfortunate consequence of doing their job and listening to others. So this weekend, Pirelli are right. hoping to add complications and the strategy chaos around the tire choice. To add to that, don't forget it's also a sprint race weekend, so there's only one practice, and the regulations stipulate that one fewer set of tires than normal on a weekend like this. So each driver has 12 mm-hmm. sets, 6 soft, 4 medium, and 2 hard. Furthermore, medium is the only tire permitted for the first two parts of sprint qualifying, and then the soft must be used for the third. And to top it all off, none of this might matter, because it might rain. So we might be using wets and intermediates. So if this experiment doesn't work out, and Spa is one of the last tracks you can kind of do this kind of experiment on just to test it out, it's kind of a moot point. To Cal's opinion, it doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah. For sure.
So exciting to try, but then it might not work out because we'll be just on intermediates anyway.
I will say that I usually love it when we have a wet race because it just brings an element of chaos. And it is, as you say, Ash, the ultimate equalizer. I don't love the idea of a wet race at Spa, given how dangerous it can potentially be. Mm-hmm.
Ferrari is a team trending upwards, as we've talked about for our reviews and other previews. They've yet to win a race this year, as we all know, but they're introducing their revised rear suspension following a test in Mugello. This follows similar changes earlier in the season made by first Mercedes and subsequently McLaren. So they're hoping to kind of emulate their results. With this change, the aero platform of the car becomes more stable, and the aerodynamic forces mm-hmm. acting upon it become more consistent as a result. Something we've heard Charles Leclerc and Lewis Hamilton talk about this car, or kind of not talk about this car in a roundabout way. They've had upgrades. Previously, they introduced the new floor in Austria, and Charles Leclerc is like, I guess it's okay. luckily, trending upwards. To the pros, there's always cons. Something Ferrari has to look out for is that their drivers can lose some vital cues from the car. Journalists, and I've seen articles being describing it as like the car can feel more numb to a driver, so you don't get that same feel or feedback from the car with these changes. And the ride height can be set lower because of this, but the floor will then run closer to the ground, aka then the plank may wear out more. Therefore, you can get penalized. Same thing to George Russell. It's something you have to be careful about. Ferrari is no stranger to this. So upgrades, We love upgrades, people. Of course, everyone's also going to be on top of Max Verstappen. That poor dude. Similar to the previous race, everyone's going to be in the motorhome and such, and Red Bull. I don't know how reporters are also going to handle the recent Sardinia news with Max and Toto Wolff asking these questions. I wonder if they'll dismiss the rumors and whatnot. We'll see how that plays out tomorrow when they get to the track.
We're just going to see the questions over and over again. It's you know, until something is officially announced, or like either
everyone wants to be the first to also tweet something or write an article about it. So see if they can get the scoop.
Yeah, let's see if Sky Italia can be on top of it.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe. And as I stated before, simply put, Spa is my absolute favorite track, favorite circuit in mm-hmm. the entire world. Unlike street circuits, we're thinking like Monaco, Baku, narrow and reward more track position than pace, right? We talk about like qualifying is super important at times like these. For Spa, it rewards, in my opinion, fantastic drivers, raw speed, raw control, and guts. Kind of to your point earlier, you absolutely cannot fake it here at Spa, right? You got that bravery and commitment mm-hmm. you need through Eau Rouge and Redillion, flat out through a blind uphill corner at 190 miles per hour. If you lift, you're losing time, and if you don't, you better get it right. You have cornering technique at Pujol and Blanchimont, long sweeping high-speed corners that expose balance and tire management, excuse my French, at the side of Belgium that I do not know. precision under pressure, right? La Source, those braking zones where small errors become big problems. Racecraft and adaptability, weather changes mid-lap, strategy dies quickly. Drivers have to think for themselves here. Michael Schumacher debuted here with Jordan in 1991, then got his first GP win here in 1992. Ayrton Senna, first of all, saved a driver's life during practice in 1992, and then during the race, he gambled on strategy, went down to P12, climbed back up to P5. We've seen some incredible drives here at Spa. I think it's an absolute, one of those last true circuits, best circuits. I love this circuit. Especially for sports car racing as well. I just love Spa. If you can attend, I highly recommend it. It's nothing like it. It's absolutely gorgeous in the middle of the forest.
That story about Michael Schumacher debuting here with Jordan wearing that 7-Up race suit in the 7-Up car, that story is really fascinating because the driver he replaced that race last minute was arrested, which is why he couldn't drive.
And look at him now, having that record of most wins here at Spa.
Yeah.
It's an absolute beautiful track.
Yeah, it's there are, you know, and there've been a lot of criticisms about how dangerous Spa can be, especially in the wet, but they can't do a lot to the circuit because all of the area surrounding it, I believe, has incredible environmental protections. So, you know, it's just one of those circuits that is kind of preserved in the current state that it's in, and you have to take it or leave it.
I do wanted to know, because I think there's going to be some asterisks, like some people commenting. The Belgian GP was designated as the European GP 6 times between 1925 and 1973. I will denote that.
Thank you for the denotion.
Just want to make sure. There's always some kind of like asterisks or technicality with motorsports, and just want to throw that out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lewis Hamilton is one of the current drivers. I think you talked about this earlier with the most years won after Schumacher and tied with Ayrton Senna. So looking for Ferrari to do pretty well. And there's a good chance of rain. That's another big thing this weekend. But we kind of talked about that. And it kind of sucks that everyone's talking about tires. And then that might just go to nothing.
Yeah, for sure.
Ferrari has the most engine manufacturer wins, which is nice, and repeat constructors wins as well. So Ferrari fans, cash in while you can. Or I guess you should buy stock, not cash in. Excuse me.
Yeah. You want to do predictions?
Yeah, I'll do predictions. I'm scared.
You want to go first or you want me to?
Wait, give me 1 second. Let me write down my predictions because I don't want to be influenced by anything you say.
Okay.
I think I'm going to go... God, it's so hard not to put McLaren in some kind of podium contention, right?
Totally.
I feel like Max isn't done. I'm going balls to the walls, guys. This is going to be a little insane.
Can't wait. Alpine double podium with Nico Hülkenberg.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, would you like to go first? You want me to?
You can go first.
This is going to be a very boring prediction, but I'm going to say Lewis Hamilton, P5. Charles Leclerc, P4. George Russell, P3. Oscar Piastri, P2. Lando Norris, P1.
Okay. For my pole, I'm going Max Verstappen for qualifying.
Okay.
For my P5, I put Charles Leclerc. My P4, this is going to be crazy, Lando Norris. P3, Lewis. P2, Max. P1, Oscar.
Lando Norris and P4.
I have a feeling.
All right.
This is gonna be a spicy meatball. This is gonna be.
Maybe it just depends on like what Lando's been doing in the 3 weeks off. Like, has he been focused or has he been partying with Martin Garrix?
You could say that for all of them.
Oh, that's true.
Especially for hey, Max knows Martin Garrix too. They'd be partying together.
Apparently, George Russell bought a yacht and was showing it off on social.
Oh, I didn't put George in here. How did I not put a Mercedes in here? Ugh.
I think it's because you put both Ferraris and Max along with both McLaren.
I just have a good feeling about the Ferraris. I'm just jinxed them completely. I am so sorry if you're a Ferrari fan.
I mean, George had, tire management masterclass last year before getting disqualified. I just think he's going to end up on a podium here.
If it's going to rain, I'm not saying Charles Leclerc is terrible in the rain, but he's also not the best in the rain. He's kind of just exist when it's raining. We can talk about his record. Yeah. I think Lando, depending how the strategy is, he hasn't made the most informed decisions. He is risky. I like to say, calculated risk, bad at math. So,
yeah,
doesn't calculate it all that well. Lewis, great in the rain. I mean, goated. Max, goated in the rain. And Oscar Piastri, I think, is just going to push really hard. He's P1 is also a gamble because if in that same thought process of him pushing very hard aggressively, how is he going to do in the rain at Spa? Is going to go a little too far.
I think you also neglected to bring up wet weather specialist Lance Stroll.
Stop it. He's fine. I recently saw a YouTuber, Tomo. He put out his ranked list for like this part of the season. And then his like chat/YouTube chat put out their like collective as they voted on their ranked list. Folks were upset about the Lance Stroll thing. And I like to denote that Lance Stroll himself has said that most of the races have been because of Aston Martin strategy. And he, quote, had nothing to do with it. So I would just like to put that out there. So, you know, at least he admits it, which I appreciate. And
sure,
he chalks it up, some of the races and him doing well is to an Aston Martin strategy and the pit wall. Gosh, this is where it's fun, right? I understand the years of dominance where it's really easy to be like, oh, P1 Max, P1 Lewis, P1 Sebastian Vettel, etc. But this is fun where I know Mercedes fans are going to be upset with me, but now I'm upset. But genuinely, where do you put George Russell and Kimi Antonelli here? Amongst Max Verstappen, the McLarens, and the Ferraris doubling down on their upgrades.
I think Kimi's currently experiencing some growing pains. Just, I think that's natural being a rookie. So I don't really expect him to end up in the top five or even a podium. Mm-hmm. But George Russell, I think, is continuing to be probably the best form he's ever been in his career. So I don't really think Kimi's going to crush it at Spa, but I could see George Russell putting up a really solid performance.
Yeah, we hope the Sauber upgrades are seemingly, right, so far been doing well, again, trending upwards. We hope they can keep it there. Williams, we hope they're bouncing back. Haven't had the best past couple of races. Gosh, P1, it's got to be a McLaren.
It's got to be. But crazier things have happened.
Crazier things have happened. This is like my P5, but I generally do not. I'm willing to argue and discuss any range of P5s with anyone in the comments. I think if you put McLaren's in there, it's fine. I believe in Lewis in a P3, though, for sure. This is going to be fun. I just freaking love Spa. I do have a lot of Spa merch that I didn't want to scare people with. I have like I have a Circuit Spa sweater, it's velvet. I have some water bottles from the 24. I have some other commemorative stuff. They have like a lunchroom upstairs and you get like these plastic coins and like paper kind of like, vouchers, when you're like working with the circuit and have like a race there and you're part of the race series. So working with GT World Challenge was really fun. Able to hang out there. It is an absolutely beautiful circuit if you're able to go. It is definitely far and hard to get to. I think it's worth it to go at least once.
Also, you get to watch it at 9 a.m. I have to wake up at 5:30 to watch it.
Yeah, I will not be watching the sprint race at 6 a.m. Eastern, my time, which is 3 a.m. you. I will get up at around...
Oh, I'm definitely not watching the sprint race.
It's just apologies.
Brought to you by Gatorade.
I completely forgot about that. Doritos Gatorade.
Well, I joke that, you know, the last race, at Silverstone, the trophies were made of Lego. For all the sprint races, it's just going to be an empty Gatorade bottle.
It's got to be full. Come on. It's got to be full. Hopefully, Pirelli gets to test some out, some tire strategy. But here's the thing. It's not their fault. They did what they were asked. This is my whole thing. They've somehow told Pirelli to do this. And now they've also made it Pirelli's fault to solve this, as opposed to doing anything with the car, which then we talk about the aerodynamic regulations and just the new regs for 2026. And then we're still kind of, some people are looking at them, and there was a really good discussion on Reddit, surprisingly, of some folks talking about these new regs, and then they really fix the problems that we're having here. And just, we're going to make it Pirelli's problem again. Just Pirelli, if you're listening to this, hats off to you. I appreciate you. You do great work.
They're trying.
You're doing great work.
Do they do great work?
They did what they were asked.
Yeah.
And they crushed it. You also don't want like a crumbly tire that just looks bad. To your point, no blue cheese tires.
I like right. this. Or sun tires.
Great qualifying tires. You just don't want your tires to explode a la USGP in Indianapolis and start some dramas there. But
do you think it would be more interesting if there were multiple tire suppliers in the series? Or do you think it's better that there's uniformity with one supplier?
I mean, yeah, when you add more variables, there's obviously more risk and things that can go wrong.
Sure.
So same thing with the engine manufacturers, right? The fact that we have more engine manufacturers doesn't mean that everyone's engine is perfect and going at speed. Mm-hmm. Especially, I understand that when you have a Mercedes or Ferrari engine, you don't have their exact setup and the way they've built around their engine, et cetera. But still, my point remains. So, yeah, but who's going to want to do that? I don't think Pirelli would want that to happen.
Here's another question for you. How do you feel about the belief that many fans have that every compound should be used in a race?
Then again, I feel like you're making it a Pirelli problem, like a tire problem, which isn't the make.
No, well, some people feel like, oh, instead of having to change compounds once, everyone should be forced to use a hard, medium, and soft.
Just make the cars able to pass each other without DRS. I just don't understand. Every sports car races have this problem. We had to have balance and performance, which is another problem. The Venn diagram's a circle. Racing, this is what I'm learning in racing.
In sports car racing, is everyone just drive on one compound?
No, there's different compounds. And then there's different suppliers also in like World Endurance Championship for the hypercars and the GTDs and stuff like that. But
is there a hard and soft compound, or is it more elaborate than that?
Soft, medium, hard, but they're different colors. As like they're not Formula One colors. Like they do have their own colors. It's red for hards, for example. White for soft. Oh, medium is still yellow. That's good to know. Sorry, I was Googling the colors.
You want to? Can I give you a quiz?
No, absolutely not.
Come on, let me give you a quiz. No. It'll be fun.
No.
Come on, let me
what
do
am
it.
What did I get it wrong?
This can be super fun. Okay.
We'll just cut this.
I'm going to ask you the official tire for each series.
For each series?
Here we go. Formula One. Easy one.
Pirelli.
IndyCar.
Firestone.
Okay. NASCAR.
This one I always get wrong. Goodyear?
You know this. Yes, correct.
It's either Goodyear or Michelin. It's 50-50, and I always want to switch. Goodyear. Yeah, it's Goodyear.
It's Goodyear. Formula E. This is going to be a tougher one.
Do I know them?
I'll give you a clue. It's a South Korean tire company. It starts with the letter H.
I don't know.
Ends with the letter K.
Go for it. Tell me.
Hankook.
Oh, I definitely knew that. I was like, it's not going to be, I'm not going to say Yokohama because that's going to get me fired. They're also Japanese.
IMSA.
Michelin?
You know this? Yes, correct. WEC Hypercar.
That's Michelin.
Yes. WEC LMGT3.
That's Goodyear.
Correct. You're really good at this. MotoGP.
Ooh, I actually don't know. Can I get a hint?
It's one that you've already said.
Michelin?
Great. Yep, correct. You're crushing this. Okay, World Rally.
Oh, shit. No, I definitely don't know this one.
So it used to be Pirelli, but starting in 2025, it became
Honda. Oh, man, I wanted to say Pirelli just because I'm familiar with their sponsorship, but I got it. They switched it over.
And this is one. I think you're going to get this one. Super Formula.
You think I'm going to get this one?
Yeah, because you are. Yeah, Super Formula.
I just want to say Pirelli again, but I don't think I'm going to get this one.
Well, Super Formula. Okay, where is Super Formula?
Okay, this is stressing me out. I don't know. Just tell me.
No, where's Super Formula? You know where Super Formula is. What country is Super Formula in? Japan.
Oh. Is it Yokohama?
It is. You crushed it.
No, I mean, Japan was pretty easy when you said it like that. I'm obviously going to say Yokohama. What are their tigers from? Oh, I mean, that's not true.
You pretty much got everyone right. You crushed it.
Yeah. Then it's learning about what brakes do they use? Probably Brembo. What are they? We can really get really specific. It made me feel good when we interviewed Catherine Legg that she mentioned she wasn't a car person.
Yeah.
And I was like, whew.
I'm not a car person at all.
And it's an interesting discussion between talking about reading race fans. And I think the Venn diagram used to be a circle, but now I think that's spread out more where not all race fans are car people.
So many people talk to me as if I know a lot about cars, and I have to stop them and be like, I'm so sorry. I have no idea what you're talking about. I drive a Prius.
I had a Prius. I did love that car. It was pretty zippy.
I mean, in my defense, I do sometimes put it in sport mode, but I don't even know what that means. But I do put it in sport mode.
So funny.
But I still drive a Prius at this point.
Heck yeah.
Anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think we covered it. I think the news has kind of been a little slow for F1. Of course, summer shutdown is coming up, so that'll be a lot of things. But support local, including your racetracks.
Yeah.
So we can stay at Spa and not alternate from these beautiful, gorgeous tracks for a street circuit.
Help control the pet population. Make sure to have your pet spayed or neutered. Y'all, thank you so much for listening to the WTF1 podcast. I'm your host, James Coker, along with Ash Vandelay. We will be back. By the way, later this week, we will most likely, or maybe next week, we interviewed Catherine Legg. So make sure you keep your eyes out for that interview. And otherwise, we will be back next week with our review of the 2025 Moët and Chandon Belgian Grand Prix. See you
later. Bye.
Bye.